How many want to give the Holy Spirit room to move? In our lives individually, in our congregation, we want to be led of the Spirit. And Bill and Marge, what you're talking about is being prompted and led and guided by the Holy Spirit. One of the privileges of being His own is that His sons and daughters have this thing inside their heart crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy. And they are, one of the proofs that they are the children of God is that they are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So God's trying to speak to us something about being led, listening to His voice, letting the Holy Spirit who dwells within us guide, prompt, and lead us. Let's pick it up again this morning. Just have a few of them this morning. First one's a map this morning, Pat. And thank you, Dean, for pinch hitting. We appreciate that. Amen. But we've been talking about who is the Spirit, and you are most welcome to listen, if you've not been here before, to the other messages, or if you missed some, they are on the www.gracechristiancenter.us that Dan and Roxanne take care of for us, and we're grateful to you guys for doing that. We understand the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our guide. He's here. He walks with us. He teaches us. He gave gifts to men, and we understand that's both by His Spirit and His Spirit, and it also refers to men and women of God. The ascension gift ministries, the fivefold ministries of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we discussed last week the importance of the place of the family of God, the body of Christ. How many of you know you are strengthened by fellowshipping with other believers? There is a place. Jesus, the only thing He said He would build is His church. I will build my church. So there's something crucial God does when He sets us in His fold and His specific congregation that He has for us. They were called Christians first at Antioch. What does Christian mean? Who knows? Christ-like. Little Christ, Christ-like. It was a term of derision and became a term of joy and a thing of beauty. Our hearts are here to grow, to be more like Jesus, to indeed deserve the name Little Christ. We can't earn it. We walk by grace, and yet we cooperate with Him and become more like Him. The Scripture says, study to show yourself approved in 2 Timothy. And we want to hide His Word in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. He moves, He changes, and convicts us and speaks to our hearts. Are you hearing the voice of God more lately? Oh, Jesus, speak to us. This morning we want to take a look at another section of Scripture. A simple section. A section of Scripture that you've spent a lot of time in. But I want to take some of the meanings of the words, and I want to take just a simple look this morning at a few of what these meanings mean to us. Will you turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Pastor Sherry, your opening was exactly in the flow of where the message is going this morning as well. So, praise God, the Lord weaves together His pattern. Remember, we've spoken the last couple of weeks, He gives you a piece and someone else a piece. We come together and He puts together this jigsaw puzzle, if you will. And so there's no more confusion. The pieces all fold into place. And who do we see? Whose picture's on the jigsaw puzzle? We see Jesus. And He wants us to see Him and make us look more like Him. 1 Thessalonians 5. In verses 16 through 21, I'm going to begin with just a couple of verses. We'll start with the verses and then go to the map. Thank you, Pat. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, rejoice always. Please read it with me, would you please? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One more time. Read it out loud, please. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's go ahead and go to the map now, Pat. I want to show you where we are. This letter is written to the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians, we're dealing with really a church that was planted on Paul's second apostolic or second missionary journey. And we come over here to Thessalonica. And Thessalonica, in Paul's day, was a city of about 200,000 people. There were some big cities in those days. And it was a prominent seaport and the capital, a Roman province of Macedonia. It was prosperous. It was located on the Via Ignatia, the main road from Rome to the east. And it was within sight of Mount Olympus. How many remember Mount Olympus is famed in antiquity for the legendary home of the Greek Pantheon and all of those things that occurred. The Romans conquered Macedonia in 168 BC, and they organized it into a single province 22 years later with Thessalonica as the capital city. It became a free city under Caesar Augustus with its own governing board of polytarchs. How many feel like our governing boards become like polytarchs at times today? Yeah, I don't even know what it means, but boy, doesn't it feel like that? It was a strategic commercial center of success. And it was in the first century, like I said, 200,000 people. It still exists today. Its name is Salonika. Salonika. But there was a sizable Jewish population in Paul's day. And the ethical monotheism of Judaism attracted many Gentiles. They worshipped one God. And there were a lot of Gentiles sick and tired of the Greek pantheon of gods that satisfied nothing in their soul. And they were tired of the paganism. And they became known, if you recall our study in the book of Acts, there was a title for these people. They were the God fearers. They were the God-fearers. They would associate as Gentiles and attach themselves to some of the Jewish congregations, if you will, and they were the God-fearers. They quickly responded to Paul as he went and taught them about Jesus. And they're the ones who especially followed Paul out of the synagogues into starting a new church. And if you recall in Thessalonica, it was those Jews who got especially jealous over the response to Paul and his preaching. They were furious about it. And remember, they gathered, they tried to find Paul and Silas, but instead they found a guy named Jason, who was the host for Paul and Silas. And they dragged him before the crowd of people. And they are trying to beat these guys. And the crowd is just jeering at them. They're all stirred up by the jealousy of the Jewish leaders. And the polyarchs, or the polywonks, I want to call them. The polyarchs and those people who were in leadership elicited a promise from Jason and those people, or tried to, that Paul and his team would get out of town. And Paul did leave. And how many remember? Paul went down the road to Berea. And remember the section that says, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, because they searched the word to see if these things were true that Paul was teaching. How many understand? Here's our primary textbook. Here's God's Word. This is the maintenance book. This is the book that guides all of faith and life and practice. Someone say amen. The Bible is our book. When you come here to church, we try not to give you a homily and three poems and send you on your way home. I love, appreciate those who do, but not fully, because this is the book we're to learn from. Amen. This is our textbook. So when Paul's teaching, they had their textbook, the Law and the Prophets. They would go through to see, what about all this stuff? How many know it's noble to search the Word of God? Yes. It's noble. It's right. It's what God expects. So, a short time after this good thing's happening in Berea, remember the Thessalonian Jewish leaders who were jealous sought Paul out, and they went down and stirred up the Jewish people there. So Paul had to leave. And then Paul gets a letter and hears from Timothy, his son in the faith, who ministers to the Thessalonians and to the Bereans left behind. And he gives Paul this report. They're doing great, Paul, and they love you. And so when you get to the book of Thessalonians, you've got this daddy's heart, this father's heart that comes out of Paul as he loves these people and he cares for these people. And he gives the perspective in the book of Thessalonians. He teaches these mostly Gentile converts who haven't had the benefit of being raised with the Mosaic law. He teaches them how to conduct themselves in sexual matters, in family matters, in moral issues. And then remember, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a huge issue of whether there's a rapture or not. But the most important heartbeat of that is Paul saying, those of you who have lost loved ones need to know that they're with Jesus. And have hope in your heart. If they've surrendered their lives to Jesus, you can have hope in your heart that they're with Jesus. Someone say amen. What a joy you can give to your family when you know you've surrendered to Jesus and they know it. And his letter is all about reminding them of that. And he commends them for being steadfast in the Lord in the midst of the afflictions and this fiery persecution they keep going through. They continue to grow and Paul urges them on. And he tells them especially, I want you to resist the temptations of a pagan society. Now, do you think that letter has any application for us today? Are we in a pagan society? Are we in a society given over to the worship of idols and other gods? And we're in a society... Listen, I was just listening to some Christian broadcasting this morning. You've heard the stories about an athletic director and a coach being put in jail for praying a blessing over a meal. And there's lawsuits that are coming against Christians who are teachers in school if they simply silently bow their head and pray a silent prayer before a meal. How many of you think there is spiritual warfare going on in our country? And we need to know and stand strong and be commended for walking with the Lord. Continue on with the Lord. Don't give up. Don't get faint. Keep going. Jesus is inside. There's hope in Christ. And so this letter comes to us. And Paul is giving instruction on how to live every day in the midst of that firestorm. And that's our context for some very simple scriptures that have become wonderful promise box verses, great plaques on a wall, but it's very powerful in its application to us today. Rejoice evermore. Just a light little thing, Pastor Sherry, you hit the nail on the head. We demand in our generation today, I want to be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. We demand it, don't we? I want my circumstances to be right. And I demand it so. And in fact, if you don't treat me right, I'm not going to hang around you. Wife or husband. Do you know that our society is literally riddled with this kind of thinking that Paul is teaching something completely different? I can count a bunch of people right now, young, 20-somethings, for whom they have not been taught the Word of God. Culture in America is not informed by the Bible anymore. And so, therefore, our morals are not guided by scriptural principles. So covenant means nothing. Commitment means nothing. And what I hear all around me for people even that I know is, I want to be happy. So bye-bye, Mr. or Mrs. Spouse. I deserve to be happy. Anybody, can you be honest with me? Anybody ever thought that yourself? Maybe not your spouse. You know, Dean's sitting there going, you think that, honey? but you know, I mean, look at the person next to you and go, look at the person next to you and say to them, I'll hang in there with you. It's okay. I'll hang in there. I don't want anybody insecure this morning. What's he teaching about? But this is, lost you, didn't I? But this is what's going on. People don't have, they don't have a foundation of Bible in them. They don't have God's heart within them. They don't have God's Word. They're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm using that word purposely. How many of you understand, when it came down to the wrestling match between you and God, God won? Yes. And how many know, therefore, then his claim is, not just, honey, I want you to be happy, and if you're not happy with Uncle George God, then I know you'll leave me. That's not the call of God on our life, is it? He says, I want you body, soul, and spirit, the whole caboodle. Oh, and the kit, too. I want the whole kit and caboodle of you. Everything there is. And so this thing with Jesus is a surrender. Look at each other and say, you surrendered to him, didn't you? Some of you are going, oh. Yeah, we surrendered to him. We surrendered to him. But there's a lot of people all around us who don't know what that's all about. Hurting people, even Christians, who don't know that that's what the claim of Christ is and don't live in the Word of God and so aren't informed by the Word of God. So I'm not saying it with anger. I'm saying it with grief. And those of us who know are here to help minister to those who don't. The Bible says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restoring to usefulness is the Greek perspective in the Greek and the meaning of restoring people. But that's the meaning of Scripture. And Paul begins with a difficult verse for us today. Rejoice. I said, rejoice.
Always.
One more time, just to practice this for us. Rejoice.
Always.
Ouch. Always. Now, the Greek word for rejoice is kairo. And well, I'll show you the Greek words in here too. Kairo, kairo. To be full of cheer, calmly happy, well off. To be well. Evermore in the Greek. What does it mean? Pantoe. What does it mean? It means, and that's literally what it says, every when. Well, all times. All the time. Everywhere. Every when. Whenever.
Every moment.
How can you possibly do it? Be happy always? There must be something that these believers tapped into that we need a lot more of in our own life and heart today. Again, the perspective of today, my happiness is more important than anything. That's defining life by my circumstances. If you'll give up Jesus, if your circumstances are bad, you didn't really surrender to Jesus in the first place. Talk to Job about it. I don't want to go through what Job's gone through. But everybody in this room has a measure of suffering in your life because it accomplishes something in our soul. It teaches us to depend on him. You take a look at the black spirituals back in the days of slavery, which was an abomination before God. Slavery was an abomination. But the spiritual songs and the hymns that were birthed in the midst of the suffering are some of the hymns that are still sung in the church today. And there was a faith that was real, and it wasn't a chicken in every pot, and sometimes there wasn't even a pot on the fire. And yet Jesus holds and grips my soul. And sometimes I'm not happy and I do worry. But I can rejoice in the Lord. Turn to each other and say, rejoice in Jesus. Rejoice evermore. You know, the older generations... The older generations taught we baby boomers. Some of you are looking like, yeah, never mind. Anyways, they taught we baby boomers. We baby boomers were totally the consumer society. I want instant credit and I want what I want now and I'll put it on my credit card. And if I can't pay it, whoa, put it on another card and make a little switch. Who cares? Shogun, who's got the pee? I don't know. I don't know, but somewhere it's going to come home to roost. But I don't worry about that because I'm a baby boomer. The me generation. The society and the generation before us were savers, and the baby boomers were consumers. I just read an article that because of what's happened in our culture in the last year, The baby boomers have cut the discretionary spending by more than one third. And if you don't think it's making a huge tsunami, not just ripple, a huge tsunami effect through our economy. And economists are saying, as they're evaluating this generation, that what's happened probably is for the better of our country. All things work together for good. For the betterment of our country, and there's probably been an eternal, or better, permanent shift in our culture back to saving. Isn't that interesting? You save it and they spend it before you can get it in the bank, you know? Yeah, no question. That's right. But it's a major shift. But culture, I want to be happy. That's what drove the consumer society, and it's driving our 20-somethings now. You've got social things, Facebook, and I'm Twittering, I'm tweeting right now. And I got 1,000 friends that I'm tweeting to because you need to know right now I am eating Doritos. It's huge. What are you doing right now? I just washed my face with Dove. I took a trip to Eastern Washington 2 days ago. I'm with Joshua. And then later I'm with David. And out comes the... What you tweeting, kid? He smiles and just went back to tweeting. I'm not sure what he was tweeting. But I want to communicate now. I want what I want now. And I want my happiness now. And God says, it's a lot deeper than that. It comes from that surrendered relationship that in the midst of that fiery furnace, you know Jesus still loves you. And you know that if you have family members that have lost their lives in the persecution, you know that they're with Jesus. You have an assurance in your heart. And you know you got a family and a church that loves you. And when times are tough, they'll feed you their pork and beans right along with them. I suppose the Jewish people weren't eating pork and beans. I'm sorry. But you understand my point. That was a little Jewish humor there. Sorry. Paul knew how to be abased and to abound, and yet to continue to rejoice in the Lord. Listen, I know, but it's just important for us to say it to each other every now and then. Your circumstances drive happiness, and when they're great, rejoice. When they're not, pray. Sing psalms. When you suffer, the Bible has instructions like that. But remember, it can never steal your joy. Rejoice. How often? Okay, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What does pray mean? It's proskumahi, and it means to supplicate, to worship. And without ceasing, this is really cool in the Greek, adialipis dose, and sometimes why? It means pray uninterruptedly. That's cool. Pray uninterruptedly. Without omission. And another translation literally says, without an intermission. Isn't that a cool way of saying it? There's no intermission in this prayer. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Kev? I got stuff to do. I can't kneel down all day long. What does it mean to pray without intermission? A spirit of prayer. Mental. Continual. A heart that is with Jesus all the time. You heard the language, you know. My BFF. What's that stand for? My best friend. Yeah, best. Oh, yeah, there's one more. Best friend forever. BFF or BBB. Better Business Bureau. I'm sorry, it's not it. Yeah. BFF, best friend forever, okay? So if Jesus is your BFF, then you're going to not even have to tweet him. But your breathing when you're with him is just like, I'm experiencing it all with him. He's right here. He's inside. He's with me. He's not far away. He's right here. And so what does it mean to pray without intermission? It means he's right here with you. The Holy Spirit's with you all the time. And so we experience this together. And he knows the grief when I feel grief. He knows my heart when I'm related, because I'm just talking to him all the time. Pray without ceasing. Your comforter is right there. In everything. Even when it's bad. In everything, give thanks. Everything. Everything. Eucharistos, give thanks. Be grateful, continually expressing gratitude. The word everything, I didn't even bother to put up there. It's pas, P-A-S in the Greek. And it literally means everything. And everything, and everything, all things. Now notice, the scripture didn't say for everything. It says in everything. What you're going through may not be a good thing. But give thanks that he's got you in the palm of his hand. And he knows how to work it out. Keep finding reasons to say thank you to him. Keep looking for reasons to say thank you to him. Eucharisto, grateful. And then the Bible says that is the will of God for you. Pastor Kev, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. What's this got to do with it? You'll see. This is the will of God. Thelema, it's the determination, the choice, it's the decree, it's the volition in the heart of God. This is his will for your life. How much have you spent wondering, what's God's real plan for my life? What's his will for me? And he says, here it is, honey, right here. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, and then you'll be the living demonstration of what I want you to be. That's my will for you. You stop and you go, well, isn't there something else? He goes, well, start there. We'll start with that. If you get a handle on that, I'll keep showing you stuff. And we talked about that this morning, too. As you do that, God then opens your hearing. That's what this is all about. Lord, I want to hear you. The Spirit wants to speak to us. He wants to find people who are listening. And how do we put ourselves in the position to be hearing and led of God to reach those people who need him? It starts right here. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing and everything give thanks. Oh, okay, so I'm going to be a lot more focused on you than on my circumstances. And I bet when I do that, I'll be able to hear him a lot better. Amen? Amen. Touch your neighbor on the shoulder and say, he wants you to hear him better. Let's go on. And this is the next point is the name of the message this morning. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't put the other ones up just yet, Pat. I want to take those one by one. Don't quench the Spirit. You've heard that verse. What's that mean? 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Say it with me, please. Right up there. Do not quench the Spirit. Watch this in different translations. This is fantastic. The NIV. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Isn't that cool? Say that with me. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. King James says, quench not the Spirit. BBE says, do not put out the light of the Spirit. The message says, don't suppress the Spirit. We all quote this verse, but what does it really mean? Let's use a couple of illustrations. You know, President Kennedy was assassinated, as we all know. And what did they put for him in the place where he's laid to rest? And a what? An eternal flame. Keeps burning. Never goes out. Let's see now. You quench your thirst. You're so thirsty that you crave something, and your body's telling you you need something. There's something there, and you quench your thirst. But the Spirit of God lives inside. And he tells you things all the time. Do this. Don't do that. Don't say that. Oh, you said it. Strike one. Kevin, just shut up now. Strike two. Strike three, pal. You really blew it. But, you know, you feel that inside. You hear that. And it's an ongoing companionship. Don't tell him to shut up. Don't quench the spirit. Don't tell him to shut up. It's a still small voice that he has. We've talked about that. Listen. Listen. We stood silently here this morning. I'll bet you the Holy Spirit spoke to some of your hearts during the time of silence. Sin quenches the Spirit, binds him up, not free to speak. It's telling God to shut up. Let me tell you a story, and by that story, give you an analogy that may help make some of this come alive. I saw probably 150 very alarming pictures on my oldest son David's computer 2 days ago. He was at a friend's home just outside of Yakima, kind of over by Sunnyside, and there was a fire that had started. And some of you may have heard about the fire, but it had started over in the fields. And all of a sudden, he and this friend, who were there visiting, get a knock on the door. It's the friend's home. And he had about 10 acres and a barn and a garage and a workshop. And it's firemen. Volunteer, thank God, firemen at the door. Always thank your firemen and your first responders. We've got great people, whether it's the military, the police, the people who work in our hospitals and medical practitioners, the EMTs. Thank God for them. Knock on the door. You guys, listen, that fire's on its way. We need you to come and help us. It doesn't matter if you've been trained or not. Grab anything you can and come and help us. This is a serious issue. They get their picks. They grab anything they can. They grab shovels, etc. They spent 4 hours in the blistering Yakima heat clearing away brush and fighting this fire. And after 4 hours of exhaustion, the firefighters said, okay, it's out. You can go home. So they departed. And in fact, David's friend, David was kind of between shifts, so he's there, and his friend took off and went camping because he was supposed to go camping. And a little bit later, David goes out, drives away, and then he has to come back to the house. And he's driving back to the house, and I'm seeing pictures of this. He sees billows of smoke off in the distance. And with every quarter mile, he's taking pictures through his front windshield, and they're getting bigger. And pretty soon, they're over here. And it's bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, fire trucks are screaming all along and up and down the road. And it turns out that there was a restaurant just about a mile from David's house where a bunch of the firefighters were eating. And all of a sudden, in the middle of their meal, one looks out a window, shouts at his companions, and says, "We got to get out of here, or else this fire is going to engulf us." And I drove by 2 days ago, a pile of ashes where a restaurant had sat. And David is now the only one at this house. And trucks are screaming down the road. And he watched in 5 minutes, flames shooting up and move. Miles in 5 minutes. And pretty soon, flames are on this side of them. They're across the front. And they're in the back. And he's scrambling. His friend's gone. He's the only one here. David's doing everything he can to spare this guy's home. They have a great producing well, and as long as the fire's not there, there's water coming out of the well. He's putting water on everything he can. He's taking the horses out of the pasture and basically setting them free because the horses would find appropriate ground. He's taking care of little billy goats. He's taken the cat, put it in the truck, and the dog is a big mastiff, and he was running along with him, but pretty safe. And David's grabbing his friend's possessions, papers, things that they needed, making calls to the wife. What's the combination of the safe? I'm not trying to steal it. I'm trying to save it. Putting these things and packed out his truck. And he's running around and he's taking care of this. And the next thing he knows, fire trucks are rolling into his yard, and the fourth and the only avenue of escape out is engulfed with flames. And they look at David and they say, "We're in this together." And they watch the flames. By now it's dark, but it's as light as day. And they are working on every perimeter of this place, taking away the scrub brush, getting as big a fire break as they can. Pretty soon he's looking out in the front yard and telephone poles are ablaze right up way over their top. The mailbox across the street, it's ablaze. And fire is on all four sides. Let me just tell you something about how the Spirit works. I didn't know anything about what was going on, but I'm just going to be honest with you. You ever sense something in your heart and you feel stupid and crazy? In my heart of hearts, I became immensely burdened for David. And I'm sure if I checked my watch and when it was all unfolding, it was right at the same time. I was so burdened for that boy. And all I can tell you is I saw fire. And I couldn't get through to him. And all I could do was pray. All four sides. And all of a sudden, out in the front, burst into flames. And one of the fire trucks that had been parked in the area, or right on the property, goes screaming over there and throws as much water as it's got left to douse the flames. And all of a sudden, there had been 60-mile-an-hour winds whipping that, which is why it was traveling so quickly. And all of a sudden, it died out. Snuffed out, put out, and put out. Because the fire ran out of fuel. Now, if you've ever been out there, you know there ain't a whole lot of fuel besides scrub brush out there. That's why I'd never want to live out there. Take a look at that, then consider. You go. But the fuel had to leap across a highway, in essence. And thank God the wind died down so embers didn't come over and land on top of the house to burn the house down. And it stopped. And it stopped. And it stopped. And I got up and I called David the next morning. And, you know, you guys, I saw the news. Oh, fire's burning in Yakima. Okay. Jesus be with them. Bless them. Be warm, be fed. Have a marshmallow. Make a s'more. You know, I mean, it didn't hit me deeper than that. Forgive me, Lord. It didn't. Okay. So I call David. And I hear this exhausted kid on the other line. And frankly, he's kind of energized. You know? So, well, David, how are you? He says, well, I'm okay now. I said, excuse me? He says, Dad, the firefighters just left the home this morning. And then he told me the story. And I got on my knees and I thanked God for sparing his life. And I'm using an illustration that is so powerful. And I watched these pictures and I encouraged him. I said, you should write this story. He took the pictures. He took 150 pictures while he's running around doing all this stuff from the inside of a fire ring. I said, nobody else has got those pictures. You want to write this story. But, you know, quench not the Spirit. But let's look at it a different way. Okay, it's an analogy. It's a picture. What should you quench? Gossip. How about gossip? If you stop gossiping, there's no more fuel for the fire to burn. Backbiting. If you just back away from it, there's no more fuel for that fire to burn. How about a rancorous argument between spouses and between friends? If you just back away from that thing, maybe you have to die to yourself because you want to get that last good one in. Come on, don't look so holy. I've been there too. I was married for 24 years. I got a really good one, man. I've been saving this one. I've been saving it. I thought of this one for days. And the Holy Spirit says, just shut up. And you go, but it's really a good one. But when you back away from it, it quenches the argument. So that's a good thing to quench. But he says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Quench all this other stuff. But bring the Holy Spirit close. I want you. So how can I not quench the Spirit? Stay in this. Keep devouring it. Speak to me from what you got in here. If you're hearing a voice and it's not in here, and it doesn't confirm in here, you're listening to the wrong voice. It's in here. How do I not quench the Spirit? Stay in prayer. Because it keeps these things dug out. I don't want to be gross, but anybody ever have to have a doctor clean out the earwax? You know? Come on, only one willing hand? Come on, let's do that. You know, after a while, you're walking around like, huh? Kev, that's a nice looking doctor. What? You were off key this morning. Huh? Maybe it's because I can't hear you. You know, but you say, you dig, the scripture says he digs out your ears. You know, isn't it like that? And then you walk in, you get used to it. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I can't hear you.
You get used to talking loud. Cease, how you doing today? Elaine doing okay? And then somebody looks at you and says, will you shut up? You don't have to yell at me. But the Bible says he digs out our ears. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in church. Let Him speak to you. Because I don't want to put a fire break between me and the Holy Spirit. I thank God the fire ran out of fuel. But the fire of the Holy Spirit, I don't ever want it to run out of fuel. When they walked with Jesus down the road and he talked about the scriptures, what did they say? Didn't our hearts burn within us? And it talks about Jesus, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. There's a fire burning and the scripture says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Oh God, lead me by your Spirit. Speak to me. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, you say, Pastor Kevin, I thought our series was about the gifts of the Spirit. It is, and we're getting there. But here's the heart of how to hear. So we hear the Spirit of the Lord. Don't take away the fuel of hearing the voice of God. Let your heart burn for Him, and let the Spirit of God burn inside of you. And then, Paul says, next verse, please. There's a verse, Pat, we're looking at verse 20. Now, let's go back up to the top. Maybe I left them all. No. Let's go ahead and go next door. That's okay. Thank you. Okay, sorry, you guys. Verse 20, I must have... Well, clearly, I did not put it on there, so sorry about that. Verse 20. Then, after all of this, how to hear God, how to listen, Paul says, verse 20, do not despise prophecies. Verse 21, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Verse 22, verse 23, now... May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Do you see how it fits together? Your heart's listening. Your heart's with Him. He's speaking. You're not telling Him to shut up. You're listening. And then Paul says, okay, now don't despise prophesying. Listen to the Word of God as it's taught, as it's preached, as it's prophesied. Test it. Make sure it's right. But let God have His way in your midst. We're taught how to have a right heart attitude toward the things of the Spirit. Make room for Him in our lives. Don't despise. That's where we go. Exothenao. Don't look at prophecy as something contemptible. Least esteemed. Listen for the heart of God. Give room for the Spirit of God. And we'll conclude with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 39 and 40. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. And you could, if you wanted, add the word, but, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Some people say it's got to be done decently in order. Don't do a thing, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, let all things be done. So if we'll listen, if we'll not quench Him, if we'll give Him room, then we'll see Him move. And how many want to see the Holy Spirit move in our lives? Elaine, would you come, please? Let's go back. In fact, team, you all want to come up. Let's finish with the song that we just taught. Thank you, Lord. And let's be candidates for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Amen? Lord, we thank You. Come on, would you stand with me? We thank You, Lord, that You don't want us to quench Your Spirit. Thank You that You want to speak to our hearts. And Lord, we so much thank You for moving in our midst. And thank You for Your Spirit. And thanks for saving us and making us Your own. Daddy, Abba, Father, Daddy, speak to us. Move, move by Your Spirit. We give You room in this hour, in this day. Oh, Lord, we welcome You in our lives and in our congregation. Bring revival, Lord. Not just salvations, but sanctifications and consecrations. And speak to us because we want to see Jesus. Thank You, Lord. And all the people said, amen. From the beginning, it goes like this.
Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You're love to me. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. For Your liberty. You blessed the Holy Ghost within. That I might praise Your holy name. Thank You, Lord.
From the beginning, one more time.
Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. For Your love to me. Thank You, Lord. For Your liberty, You bless the Holy Ghost within, that I might praise Your holy name. Thank You, Lord.
You bless the Holy Ghost within that part one more time.
You bless the Holy Ghost within.
This morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, let this be the day you do so. You've never yielded to the Spirit of God in your life and allowed Him to baptize you in the Spirit, let this be the day you do so. If you need healing in your body, let this be the day you know Him as your healer. We'll be honored to pray with you. Several of us just find it joyful to gather around you and support you in prayer. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and work through you this week. And when we get back together again, Wednesday night, next Sunday, we'll have the great joy of knowing we've given room for Him and we did not quench the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Be released. Have a fantastic week of the Lord.